play the Showdown Saloon. Chalk plays Holocene, and Ginger Root beat the Aladdin Theater. Then on Monday night, Elcott plays the Lollipop Shop. Seamoss via Turn, Turn, Turn. Bar Italia play the Aladdin Theater, and Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass will be at Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. Then on Tuesday the 11th, Cut Copy plays the Wonder Ballroom. Lady Ray will be at the Aladdin Theater. Jonathan Brook plays the Alberta Rose, and Todd Snyder comes to Revolution Hall. Then on Wednesday night, Carolyn Rose will be at Mississippi Studios. Rita Heimbiel plays Holocene. Sophia Isella plays the Wonder Ballroom. Adam Melkor plays the Aladdin Theater, and Knower will be at Revolution Hall. Then on Thursday the 13th, the Dandy Warhols play the Schnitz. Lily Rose will be at the Wonder Ballroom. Necromantics and DOA play together at Dante's. And Raekwon and Mobb Deep play together at the Crystal Ballroom.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 FM, K296 FT West Haven, serving Portland at 107.1 FM, and K219 KU Nehalem, serving Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming live and archived at xray.fm, radio is yours. Welcome in to the autumn edition of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington, your only sports talk radio show focusing on youth, high school, college, semi-pro, and pro sports in the Vancouver area. And we have a very special episode here on this time as we start to work more with the Clark College athletic programs. Laura LeMasters, the athletic director for Clark College, is on the show to join us this month and give us a rundown of what is going on at Clark for the fall and winter sports, as we're kind of on that cusp between one coming towards the end and the other starting up here. So I guess if we can start, Laura, just giving us a quick background on yourself, kind of how long you've been with Clark and the roles of the athletic director at a college like Clark.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. I have been at Clark since 2016. I came in as the assistant athletic director and took over as interim athletic director in 2019, and was ultimately named athletic director right before we headed into the pandemic. So my first year was quite an experience of getting into working in that role. Prior to Clark, I've kind of hopped around. I was at a JUCO in Wyoming, Central Wyoming College, for 3 years, and I did my master's in California at Cal State Long Beach. And while I was there, I was the assistant sports information director at Occidental College. So that was really where I got my grasp on college athletics, and just really loving to be part of the game day experience and working with the student athletes. But yeah, that's my story of how I kind of got to where I'm at. And yeah.
Excellent. And just for a quick background, I'm sure most of our listeners, you know, being in the Vancouver area, already know this, but for some of us who are maybe outsiders who moved into the area or just don't have the background, why the Penguins? You know where the Penguin came from? It's a very unique, in a world that's all Warriors and Bulldogs and Cougars and whatever else, very few Penguins out there in the sports world.
You know, I wish I had the exact story. I know that a president of the college from back when the college was first being founded had a little penguin toy, and that's where the Penguins came from. I believe, don't mark that down as fact, but I'm pretty sure if I remember right, that that's the story, is that there was a president that had a toy penguin and penguins.
That's what I was wondering, if it was one of those kind of myths lost to history. There's a lot of those in sports that there's kind of questions on where did the name actually come from? What was the inspiration, or isn't Oregon one of those? I think Oregon itself as a state, there's not quite a universal opinion on where the name came from.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
So we are going to look here and maybe go a little bit in depth, however far we want to go on each of our fall sports here to start with. And correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe there are five going right now: men's and women's cross country, men's and women's soccer, and women's volleyball. Am I correct? Those are the...
That is correct. Those are all in season right now.
I believe we have 11 total sports for Clark College athletes.
That is correct.
So we can just kind of jump around here if there's any one that we want to start with. I'm not sure kind of, you know, how your world, you know, and schedules, how things are, where it makes the most sense to start.
Yeah, well, let's start off with soccer. We have a pretty rich history of soccer programs at Clark. We've been pretty dominant when we were in the South region. Now we're in the West region. But the men just secured the playoffs for the fifth season in a row for their program. So that's a pretty big deal. We're still waiting to see where the final seedings are going to land. It's going to come down to the last game of the season for sure. But that's really exciting that they already got their postseason spot. They've had a lot of good success under their head coach, Jeff Lukowiak, who came in 3 years ago, I believe, and is taking them pretty far. I mean, they came off of the championship game in the NWAC last year. And I think they're ready to see how far they can go into the postseason this year. The women are battling for their postseason appearance. They're currently sitting fourth and three get to go from the region, and they're only 1 point behind the team that's in third. So they're going to probably come down to the final games of the season as well. They play their last home game Saturday against Lower Columbia. So that'll be a big game for them to hopefully help decide what the postseason is going to look like. But so yeah, so those are the two soccer programs. They're both, like I said, we have a rich history with our soccer program. So really excited to see how those teams end up. As far as cross country goes, last year we had a very successful program. Our women's team got second at the NWAC meet, and we had the individual top finisher on the women's side. And this year has been a little bit of a rebuilding year. We have a new head coach in Scott Cook, and he's got a pretty robust men's team and a small women's team, but they're kind of battling it right now. They're very young. I think we only have one or two sophomores across both teams. So he's been just kind of, working with what he has. But their Southern Region meet is coming up, and hopefully they'll get some people on the award blocks for those for that meet. But yeah, just a rebuilding year, and hopefully we'll see some more success for that program in the future. And then on our volleyball team, we have a new head coach in Katie Wells. This is her first full season. She was interim for half of the season last year. And she has a really strong team that came in this year. I don't know if a lot of people know this. We don't have a gymnasium right now. We experienced a flood on campus
Wow.
literally the day before volleyball reported to practice. And so they've been practicing at a middle school in Vancouver all season, and our games have been held at Washington School for the Deaf, which they have been a wonderful host to us for our games. But so we don't really have a home court advantage, it feels like, this season, but they've battled and really been resilient on the court. They just beat Umpqua this week, and our setter just broke the career and single season assist setting records for the college. And she's really close to the Service Aces school record as well. So we have a lot of talent on the team. They're like middle of the pack right now. And only about halfway through their conference schedule. So yeah, there's a lot more of their season to come. But like I said, they've just been very resilient, kind of gone with the punches. And just it's a lot to show up to practice the first day and then find out you don't have a gym, and to be able to, maneuver that, and with positivity and grace that they have, it's been really great to work with them.
Yeah, there's, I think, definitely a learned experience for people, anybody who's played sports, that rhythm, just you have to roll with the punches, but there's also that comfort in, this is my routine. This is my comfort zone. And when you throw a wrench in that, no matter who you are, the sport you play, there's a degree of adaptability.
Absolutely, absolutely. But they've
So
been really great.
I guess to go back a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit more about each of these sports. I neglected to bring up, so what is the conference affiliation? So we talk about the NWAC, kind of who's all a part of that, and you mentioned the South and the West. So what's the conference in the regular season setup?
So the NWAC is the Northwest Athletic Conference, and so it's 2 year schools across the states of Oregon, Washington, and there's one in British Columbia. I believe I'm probably going to mess up the numbers. It's like 32 or 36 schools. We keep adding more schools. Like Columbia Gorge just added, and so did Klamath Falls just added a couple sports. So it's a growing conference. But It's broken up into four regions. So there's the north region, which is pretty much north of Seattle, and then the west region, which is kind of Seattle down to us, the south, which is all of most of Oregon, and then the east, which has Treasure Valley, which is in Ontario, Oregon, all the way up to Spokane, and all the way into like Columbia Basin, which is in Pasco, Washington.
Okay.
So those are the four regions. It averages about like eight teams a region, depending on the sport. Not every school has every sport. And with us being so lucky that we're on the border of Oregon and Washington, we half our teams are in the west and half of them are in the south. So both of our soccer teams and our baseball team compete in the west. And then all the other sports compete in the south. And we are the only Washington school that competes in the south. So
Okay. That's
interesting.
I'm looking at the various rosters to see how the longest road trip is, because I'm guessing we're taking the, they're not like school buses, they're like the nicer, but they're still like the van bus style.
Well, interesting. So we used to have a bus. We had a school bus, a little Clark Penguin bus. We just sold it actually. So our furthest trip for like volleyball is Rogue. So that would be Medford, Oregon, which is what, like,
Oh
I
yeah,
don't know,
six. Is that
couple.
six plus?
Yeah, I'll say like 5.5, 6 hours,
Even I
right?
didn't go that far down to the south. I kind of cut my life off at Eugene when I.
And we're really great as a conference to, when our regions make our conference schedules, like our Rogue game will be the same weekend as our SWAC game, which is in Coos
Okay.
Bay. So we'll do a Friday, Saturday on the road. We just created a policy at our school where anything beyond 3.5 hours, we'll either charter them or they stay the night,
Okay.
just for their safety and comfort. But other than that, like a lot of the schools that are close by, like Mount Hood, Clackamas, Eugene, those ones will usually just have vans and the coaches will drive vans. But yeah, that are charters, and rental vans are really hard to find these days, since the pandemic, and charter companies book up really fast too because of all the stuff that's happening around, especially in the Portland metro
Right.
area. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I guess to go here a little bit by sport and the women's soccer sides, you mentioned in a bit of a dogfight here as we're recording this 5-4-3, the wins, losses, and ties. Again, depending on when this all gets done and drops, the Lower Columbia game on the 25th probably will have happened, but then at Highline in Washington, I can't say it because I'm from the other one, so I keep
It
the how do you get Des Moines
is Des Moines.
as a as an Iowan, the Des Moines pronunciation takes some learning. So playing there on the 29th, and then as you mentioned, the NWAC first round is November 5th, so. This episode should be out there for everybody before the NWAC tournament. Did you mention are those school host sites, or is there a gathering place for the early rounds of the postseason?
Yeah, so the first two rounds are hosted, host sites by the top seed of whatever round that is. And then the final four is in Tukwila, Washington at Starfire
Okay.
Sports. Yeah.
All right. So, like you mentioned, cheering for the women's soccer team by the time this drops. Hopefully they've picked up two wins there and maybe have a shot at hosting, or are we kind of for sure if we get in, we're traveling.
I think if we get in, we'll get that third spot, which means we're on the road. But yeah.
Okay. And then over on the men's side, we have for the schedule here. Yeah, as you mentioned, on a bit of a hot streak here, won three of their last four over the last few weeks. Again, at Highlands, I'm guessing a doubleheader there on that Wednesday, the 29th, men's and women's back to back.
Yep, that's usually how they do it. Yeah.
And then hosting, so a great opportunity for our fans right here in town to get out November 1st against South Puget Sound at Kim Christensen Field right here in Vancouver.
Yep, that's right.
And then same, so the NWAC first round for the men's soccer starts on November 5th. That is a Wednesday. So a good chance to hopefully be hosting a game then, we think. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's a very good chance it does come down so that it's between us and Tacoma right now for who ends up in second and third, and we're both finishing our season with Highline and South Puget Sound.
Okay.
So it'll really come down to the final games to see who ends up grabbing that second seed. But hopeful, definitely hopeful.
And then for the soccer cross country, we do have basically right after recording this, we have the NWAC South Region meet in, where's Pine Ridge Golf Course?
Right outside of Eugene in like a little suburb there. I can't
Okay.
think of.
So Hoping to advance a few onto that on November 10th in Spokane Valley for the. Is there a championship after it? Is there like a national, or is the NWAC championship the top?
So the NWAC championship is our championship. Absolutely.
Okay. So that is the, sorry, that's the men's cross country, women's cross country. Do we have the same?
Same story. Yeah.
Okay. Well, best of luck to all the athletes in all four of those sports. I guess anything else that we did not, oh, with volleyball. I almost neglected volleyball. My apologies, volleyball players. So a lot more game time left here. A Friday night on the 24th against Lane right here in town. And then some close road trips. Well, Clackamas and Salem aren't too terribly far in the grand scheme of things. You get at Clackamas and at Chemeketa. But then hosting back-to-back November 5th, November 7th, again at the School for the Deaf here in Vancouver, Lynn Benton and Mount Hood. So great opportunities to get out on a Wednesday and a Friday night. It's going to be cold outside. Good reason to get inside and get in the warm gym.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the regional play-in, possibly November 8th.
So that's if there's a tie for that fourth seed. You do a play-in for that. Yeah.
Okay. And then same for volleyball, regionals at hosted by the top seed colleges.
Yep. So every region will have a top seed and they'll host the lower seeds. And then the top eight go to what's considered the championships.
So those regionals, the 15th, 16th, and then November 21st and 22nd, Elite Eight and Final Four out in Pasco with the championship on November 23rd. So any volleyball fans out there, lots of opportunities to get out here over the next 6 weeks or so and cheer on the Penguins volleyball team. Anything else on the autumn sports here before we take our first quick break of the show and come back on the other side to talk winter sports?
No, I think that's pretty much the story so far. Yeah.
Thank you for the information on the autumn sports. We will take the break and come back here and see what Clark College has coming up for the winter sports season.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project pays for reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including housing, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
And welcome back, everybody, to the autumn edition of the Sportslandia Show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. Your only local sports talk show highlighting the semi-pro, pro, college, high school, youth sports in the Vancouver area. And we are going to switch over here to winter sports. And taking a look at the, as I believe, 11 sports Clark College has, when I think winter sports, the first thing that comes to my mind is basketball. So men's and women's basketball, correct? Is that where we can start our winter sports talk?
Absolutely.
Is that all there is for winter sports now that I'm looking at the rundown? Everything else looks very outdoorsy.
Yes, those are our winter sports.
Let's start with the women's side. What do we have here for women's basketball? Kind of a little bit of a background on the women's team and what to expect as we look forward. Games starting middle to late November.
Yeah. So the women's team is going to be young this year. They're going to be new. Jesse Norris is our head coach, and he's coming into his third season with us. He had a really good recruiting class last year. So good that a few of our freshmen ended up moving on after their first year, which is great for them. We support that. We'd love to see our students move on. We love it when they stick around for 2 years and then move on, but it's awesome if they get the opportunity after their first year to move on. So he's got a really young team again this year, but he's got some great talent. Let me just think real fast. Mia Hicks Oliver is a returner for us. She's also a three-sport athlete for us this year.
Wow.
She's just a very talented athlete. But she'll be coming back, as well as Emily Peabody from Spokane, Washington. She's coming back for her sophomore year. The two of them are going to be great leaders for this program, especially since how young it's going to be. But again, we don't have a gym. So they've they've been mixing their practices up. Our basketball teams have been working with Seton Catholic High School and Kingsway High School, who have graciously let us use their gym in the evenings to take that up. And then once their basketball programs get going, we'll be switching up. And I think PCC is going to help us host one of our teams for practice and another location for the other. But again, resilient athletes that we're going to be working with this year for our indoor sports. But so that most of their season, it really kind of worked out that they're on the road at the beginning. So they're not going to notice so much that we don't have that home field advantage or home court advantage, I guess I should say. And hopefully by the time we start conference play, our gym will be completely finished and we'll be back and moved in and playing on our court for conference games. But yeah, so they'll have a tough non-conference schedule. They'll start with, I think, a scrimmage in early November, November 9th, with Pacific JV, and then head out east to Spokane. And then they got some tournaments to warm themselves up prior to conference. And then we usually kick off right before conference with a pretty regularly scheduled battle between Lower Columbia, which is kind of our rival being so close to us. But yeah, I have a lot of hope for this team. It's going to be young. Don't really know what to expect when it's a young team to look forward to, but it's also exciting because I really trust in Jesse's coaching and the way he can relate to the players and get them to perform on the court. And when you have a talented sophomore class, even if it is just a couple of them, it's something to look forward to for sure.
I was going to ask, what's the situation with our gym? We have to get that taken care of first, but it sounds like you guys are on that.
Yeah, we're on it. It's just, you know, a slow process when you have to remove all of the wood and bring it all back. So, yeah.
All right, and I guess kind of the same question on the men's side. It looks like kind of a similar schedule, similar setup for the men's, similar timeline.
Yeah, so they started off with a scrimmage earlier in the season, and then they'll hit up another little scrimmage tournament. We have a few home games that will be kind of posting up at different places around Vancouver and Portland to get those games in. So we'll be hosting the U of O club team at Kingsway Christian High School on November 14th. And then we have Pacific University on November 25th that will be playing at PCC. And then the Lower Columbia games will be at PCC too. That's a doubleheader with the women. But the men are coming off. They were co-region champs last year in the South region. And they went to the playoffs. They got knocked out in the first round, but it was a really close game. They were a fun team to watch, and head coach Kenneth Johnson he's always had good teams, but man, college basketball, even at our level, is so competitive. It's another level of basketball. I just can't even explain it. It's a very competitive league, especially in the South, which is the league we compete in with all the Oregon schools. So I'm excited to see what this year is going to bring in. We have a lot of transfer athletes that are coming in. So transferring either from 2 years or 4 years, bouncing back down. He moved on quite a few from last year. So he's successful in like getting people the looks that they need to see to move back out to the 4 year. I think we only have two true freshmen on this year's squad, if I'm correct. And we have a couple returners from last year. So I'm really hopeful to see what this season brings for that. And it'll be nice when we can be back in our home court in January and actually get to experience it with them.
So I guess we can use that to launch into just kind of a conversation around all sports, not just necessarily basketball, but is that the vision for a lot of the athletes at Clark? Is it to move on to a 4 year and continue to compete? Or do you have some who they know the 2 years kind of just all they want to do? It's play for the love of the game and the 2 year experience is enough. Or is it a mixture? I'm sure there's no typical athlete, but kind of what's your vision from the athletic side?
You know, I think it is a mixture. We do orientation with every team at the beginning. And one of the questions I ask is like, what do you want to compete at the 4 year level? You know, and most of them raised their hand. And it's also really shocking because even as the seasons go on, those that didn't want to compete, if they start getting looks, they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I do. Maybe this is an opportunity to get my education paid for and utilize this and get to enjoy it for another 2 years, which by all means, I think we all forget, like, stuff doesn't last forever. So if you get that opportunity to take it. Last year, we moved on 42 student athletes, which is a great number. It was the second most in the of the NWAC schools, and we don't offer as many sports as the team that moved on or the school that moved on the most. So I think we do a great job as coaches in a department of moving our student athletes on and being eligible to compete at the next level. That's something I pride us on, is making sure that our students are taking the right classes, getting the right grades to get the offers. And it's getting more and more competitive with the rule changes at the NCAA and the roster limitations and the NAIA, and the things that are going to be coming down the road from Division II and NAIA. It's only going to get their rosters and their availability smaller and smaller. So you really have to invest and be a good student athlete at art level to get the looks at the next level and really be able to move on and move on to a point where, like, they're paying you a scholarship to move on and you're not just going out and walking on or taking a D3, you know, no academics or academic only scholarship. But yeah, I support any student, no matter what their vision is. If they want to come in and just get the certificate or get the AA and go into the workforce, we support that 100%. But also if they have that little slight interest in maybe having an open door for offers, like, we're going to try and guide them that way too.
Excellent. And I do have a lot more questions. We could continue to go down this rabbit hole, but I may have to save that for another show as we are at our half hour limit for this one. But I would love to talk about that more and all the NIL questions and the changes coming to college sports. So hopefully we can do more with Clark College here in future episodes. So hopefully this is just a part one and we can continue to discuss that topic further and everything else that's changing around the college world and as start looking ahead to spring and summer sports for Clark as the months go by. But we thank Laura LeMasters from Clark College, the athletic director, for joining us on this month's edition. And we thank you all for joining us and we will see you next time.
Support for KXRW comes from Blunt Insurance Group, an independent insurance agency based in Vancouver, Washington. They provide options for home, auto, business, and personal coverage, working with a range of providers. More information is available at BluntInsuranceGroup.com. That's BluntInsuranceGroup.com. Blunt Insurance Group, supporting our community and KXRW Community Radio.